Eternal God, may only the truth be spoken here and the truth heard here in the name of all the saints. Amen. It is likely less than every 2 weeks I get a joke about heaven. You know, two people trying to get into heaven. St. Peter somehow or other asking the wrong questions. Or about certain people who were in heaven. Now there's one profession particularly that gets an awful lot of time in those jokes, and that would be the legal profession. But clergy are very close behind. But what they present is not really those little glimpses of heaven that we have. We gather today not on All Saints Day, but All Saints Day transferred and All Souls Day transferred. And we are asked to think about those saints that went before. Not, well, yes, I suppose the great saints, Peter and Paul and all those other ones. And those lesser ones who have done so much for God's kingdom and spreading the word of God. But particularly in All Saints Day, and I know some of you spent time in the cemetery remembering those saints in your life, that mother, father, teacher, coach, whatever it might have been, someone who for you in some small way opened up the kingdom of God, that heaven that Jesus promised, and that heaven that is our faith and our hope. So this morning, as we remember those saints, let us also remember just a little bit those glimpses we've had of heaven. Now, the Celtic spirituality is a wonderful, wonderful thought about, and for me who love the earth and love God, things, a wonderful way to get within that realm of God. And they have one saying that's likely best known of all the Celtic spirituality things, and that is a thin place. Every so often in our life, we find ourselves in a thin place. A place where that veil between us and God and heaven is so thin that we feel we're a part of it for just a glimpse of time. It doesn't in any way give us the full picture, but it gives us a glimpse. A thin place. And we may not see often in that thin place, but we have been told often enough that others have seen it, that we'll be really surprised when we get to heaven, who we see there. That person who we just couldn't stand might well be there. Or that person whose theology is so different from ours might be there. And those thin places are to open it up for us. Now, I don't know whether it was by accident or by design, but those who put together our list of people we remember, those saints that are not the great saints but are pretty good, put together, and we have within our prayer books, whether it's a Canadian one, the US one, the West Indies one, we have within our prayer book these days of commemoration. So Wednesdays with All Saints Day, Thursday was All Souls Day, and then Friday was a commemoration of a man by the name of Richard Hooker. Now, I'm sure all of you know who Richard Hooker is. You remember the Richard Hooker who wrote the pseudonym of the army doctor who wrote under the pseudonym of Richard Hooker. He wrote a book called MASH. And a lot of us are old enough to have read that book. And if we didn't read the book, we saw Robert Altman took it and made it into a movie, which won a number of awards. And if that wasn't enough, we at least have seen reruns of it on television, MASH. That's not Richard Hooker I'm talking about. I'm talking about Richard Hooker of the 16th century. He was likely, certainly if you read it in the Anglican tradition, that little corner of the Jesus movement called the Anglican Communion. Richard Hooker was one of the top three, I would say, possibly number one. And if you want to read it, and you got lots and lots of time, you understand 16th century English, and you've got to think about most sentences, the book is still around. It's called The Laws of Ecclesiastical Polity. And he laid out so many things that we hold dear, not just Anglicans, but it's often held dear in the larger part of the Jesus Movement, the Christian Church. And Hooker, well, I must confess I've never read the Laws of Ecclesiastical Polity. I had the short notes. But he did preach some wonderful sermons. And at his time, Elizabeth, the first time as she reigned in England, there was the two really strong political groups, or religious groups. There was the group that we call Puritans, came out of the Reformation, and then the Roman Catholics, who had just gone down to defeat because of Mary, tried to reestablish as the church in England. And Elizabeth was left to try to bring it all together. And the guy who said it was Hooker. And he preached one sermon, and sermons in those days got a lot of press. And he preached one sermon that said that, "I'm quite sure, even though I disagree with them and I think they're wrong, I'm quite sure when I get to heaven I'll see a lot of Roman Catholics." Puritans didn't like that. And there was great dispute. But he brought in, and from his thoughts, there was that great idea that, yeah, we like what we have, but maybe God has plans for those and those, and maybe they're right, and certainly we'll like to see them in heaven. But he's not the greatest person who went into those thin places to find an image of heaven. In that first reading that Nancy read this morning from the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, and I don't want to get into who wrote it, that's a conversation for a long other time. But that part gives that the writer John, whoever John was, had that thin space where he saw heaven in a way, and then he told about it in a certain way, masking it with all sorts of images and symbols and all the rest, because if you were a follower, you were part of the Jesus Movement, a member of the church at that time that was written, you might well find yourself being lit up for lights for one of Nero's little dinner parties. He took Christians, quoted and creosote, so it said, and let them on fire. That was his means of light. I can't understand the smell. But he and there were other things that happened. And so the letter of Revelation, Book of Revelation, is really covered in symbols that we have never quite got to the bottom. But in the seventh chapter, the author talks about that thin place, that place where he found God and that image of heaven. If we had read a couple of verses earlier, we'd have found that there was every tribe from the people of Israel, the author said. And enough of them that there was 144,000, which in those days, it's a lot of people. But then he went further and he said there'd be people of every language, race, and tongue, every skin color, everything, no matter what. They were there. He saw them in heaven, dancing around the throne of God. And then he went on to say, they were there, they weren't just playing harps and laying them back and in retirement and not having much meaning in their life, that their life was a one of worship, and worship really means work. They were doing things that meant something to them, that grew them, that let them be the people that God would intend them to be in a far greater way than we can ask or imagine. The writer John saw that. And then he saw it, and he noticed how it ended, where he said, there will be tears no more. It was a place where there was healing and justice, and people came together in ways that we cannot imagine in our limited human creation. And Jesus painted those words so well in the gospel reading. Speaking of thin places, I need to tell you, one of the thin places of my life is really thin. First time I ever went to Israel, and to get there it took about 24 hours when you get right down to it, because we lived 3 hours in the airport in Toronto. We had to be there 3 hours early, and then we flew 13 hours, and then we got into Tel Aviv, we got in the bus and went further, and we ended up, it was a tiring first day, but the first day there we were up in the Galilee, the Mount of Beatitudes, where certainly Jesus preached. You look down over the Sea of Galilee, and it was so serene. I had to be by myself, and I went behind a grove of trees. I was standing there, sort of just, I felt the presence of God in a way I hadn't felt anymore. And around this church, it has, by the way, if you count the Beatitudes, you'll find eight or nine. It has eight sides because the architect thought there were eight Beatitudes. But In any case, it was down below this wonderful structure. And all of a sudden, there I was in the heat of Israel, which is not the heat of here, but it was warm compared to what we had left in Canada on the 6th of January. And all of a sudden, from behind this grove of trees came, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." I was convinced of that, but this really convinced me. It was a tour group from Chicago, two busloads of them, and they made a good noise, but I didn't even know they were there. But in that few moments, I sensed a heaven far beyond anything I could ask for or understand. That was my thin place, and all of you have had it, but I need to share that. But the writer of Revelation says a thin place is where no tears shed. For the poor, no longer unhappy poor, they would be blessed. The poor in spirit would be stronger. Of course, those who are persecuted will no longer be persecuted, they'll be blessed. That's the heaven. But on this All Saints Tide, that God asked us to just look at a bit. That place we hope for, that place that our faith says that Jesus promised to go and prepare for us. So, my friends, on this now wet morning, but good morning, where are your thin places? Where in your life have you had time, even for seconds, felt God embrace you, and God present, and God there? Where are those places? Simple places and great places. I was so glad to get back here on Thursday to meet people that I met last year and to be here and to see the devastation, but how well it has come back. It was so good to get back. But my other thin place here is not just in the people, but it's in the mornings. In one of the books that Philip gives, says this is what the visiting priest is supposed to do. He's supposed to open the church, open the doors. Well, I can't open four of them, but the other ones I can. And every time I've done that, and I've been here 6 weeks, all total up to this week, every time I do that, I feel just for a moment God opening up for that day, a thin place. Simple thing, but that's a thin place for me. What's yours? Is it the beach? Is it a cornered home? Is it just simply looking out at the beauty that I can see and you can from here? Just the thin place where God is real. And on all this All Saints Tide, particularly when we remember all those saints that have gone before who were there in that place, take those glimpses. Allow the thin place to speak to you, as it has spoken to so many others. I've said today, and I get rambling and talking too fast and forget about the microphone at times, but I hope I spoke loud enough. I say this in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.